Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glen Shaw Valley Presbyterian Church today on this beautiful fall day. It's wonderful to have you here today. I have a few announcements. First, we want to welcome Debbie back as our fill-in for Mickey. It's always nice to see Debbie so on. We also have a special guest today. We have Rebecca's mother here, Patty. So raise your hand, Patty, or stand up. You're always welcome here at Glen Shaw Valley. The other thing I want to mention is after service today, we're having a cookie and cake reception hosted by the deacons for Rebecca, being this is her first service as our permanent pastor. So this is a monumental day, and it's wonderful to be here for that. It's also nice to have heat in the sanctuary. There's always complications with that, but we'll try to make sure the heat stays on. Finally, I want to say something about the congregational work day last week. It was a very productive one. We got a lot of work done. The mulch was spread outside. It's looking much nicer, and the basement got a lot of stuff taken out and the dirt and debris cleaned out. So I really want to recognize BJ and Carol for spearheading that, and BJ for feeding us, and these other people that came to the work day, some who missed the service but came to the work day afterwards. So that's real dedication. So I want to thank Barb Nicole, Clara Collar, Connie Wagner, Heather Perlman, her son and daughter, Kathy Enredo, Paul McComb and his son, I think it was Henry, and Steve Hurst and his son, and especially Mike Love, who went down and checked all the drains out in the basement to make sure that they were cleaned and worked out. So many thanks to all the folks who helped with the congregational work day. And I think I heard that there's going to be a nominating committee meeting, is it Monday?
In my office.
In Rebecca's office. And session meeting is Wednesday night, 7 p.m. With that, I turn over to Rebecca.
Just wanted to say congratulations. You all set your clocks at the right time and are here at the correct time for start of worship. So thank you for being here. Please join with me in our call to worship. Joy comes to those who hope in God, for the Lord is a keeper of promises. Our God is a God of healing and help and hope. The Lord will reign forever. Our God will keep faith with all generations. Let us praise the Lord both now and forevermore. This time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our opening hymn, number 35.
Oh, no.
join me in our prayer of confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our failure to be what you created us to be. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. By your loving mercy, help us to live in your light and abide in your ways. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ lived for us. Christ died for us. Christ rose in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone, and a new life has begun. Friends, know that we are forgiven, and be at peace. Amen. Join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, having received reconciliation with Jesus, let us show signs of that reconciliation with one another by greeting one another in faith. Oh, I skipped the prayer request. We'll do that after we greet each other. Oh, no. Never mind. We'll greet each other. Sorry.
have a few prayer requests today, which I'll share. First is a prayer coming from Kathy Sagi, for one of our members, Tina Cognant. Prayer for Joe Cognant. That's Tina's father, who's in critical condition. His blood pressure is critically low. He had to have emergency surgery 2 times in a week, and he may end up with a colostomy and a G-tube for the rest of his life. Prayers the doctors can heal him and restore his and his family's faith. Next prayer request is from John and Carol Kane. Prayer request for Mabe Sasso as she deals with her health issues. Prayers for a kinder, more united nation in the light of the Tree of Life tragedy. And praise for the myriad acts of kindness and worldwide support for Pittsburgh since the Tree of Life tragedy. And one final praise request from my son Spencer Huff and Carly Smith, his girlfriend. He proposed to her on Friday and she said yes.
So when I serve communion, I usually do the pastoral prayer in communion, and I didn't catch that in the bulletin. So don't worry, I'm going to pray, but just not until we serve communion. So let us now transition to the offertory, if that is okay. Did I forget something? Oh, we have a hymn. I will eventually get this. Eventually get this. Please rise and join with me in our hymn of preparation as the deer, which will be on the screen because there's more verses to it. Yes. Be seated. This time we are going to transition into the offertory.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Today's reading comes from Mark 12, verses 28 through 34. Just wanted to make a point that there is a piece in here that says to love your God. We need to remember that with all of the tragedies that are happening all around the world. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength.' The second is, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to them, 'You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all of the heart and with all of the understanding and with all of the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any questions." Bless the reading of the word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday afternoon, I attended an interfaith prayer vigil at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall in Oakland. Thousands of Pittsburghers had gathered for speeches, prayers, and hymns to lament the terrible act of violence that occurred at the Tree of Life Synagogue. The prayer vigil began with the Rodman Street Baptist Choir singing a cappella, "I Need You to Survive." The song goes like this: "I need you, you need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me, we're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive." I think I made it through the first two verses of this song before I just started weeping. Now, as you will soon learn, I'm not really a crier, and I'm certainly not a public crier. This was just how beautiful this moment was. See, the Rodman Street Baptist Choir is a predominantly African American choir. And as we all know, the African American community has suffered more gun-related deaths in our country than any other racial and ethnic group combined. Yet here was this choir singing to the thousands of Pittsburghers who had gathered, Pittsburghers from every race, creed, religion, and neighborhood. And what was so interesting to me is what they're really singing is this embodiment of the greatest commandment. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. You are important to me. I need you to survive. As they sang, they were proclaiming that our shared humanity is more important than that which divides us. They were actually embodying what it means to love God and also to love our neighbors. Friends, this has been a dark week in our city's history. Every time I try to sit down and read the biographies of the Tree of Life victims, my eyes start watering up. Because when I read their stories, I see all of you. Women and men who love God and who love their congregations, who are actively working to cultivate a little bit of peace, hope, and joy in their communities, who understand that all religion requires sacrifice, and who freely gave of their time and talents and their money in support of their synagogue. Not that it matters, but we lost really good people on Saturday. In our scripture passage for this morning, the Pharisees, remember, they were a sect of very devout Jews who knew the law backwards and forwards. They asked Jesus to tell them, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." This commandment is more important than any sacrifice or burnt offering. In Christian circles, we sometimes refer to this commandment as the golden rule, because it is the foundation of how we are to relate to God, but perhaps more importantly, how we are to relate to one another. This past weekend, in our very city, we saw firsthand why loving God and loving neighbor is the greatest commandment. Robert Bowers went to Tree of Life Synagogue because he wanted to kill Jewish people. And he succeeded. He shot and killed 11 worshipers, and he sent 6 more to the hospital in critical condition. I believe 2 or 3 of them were first responders and police officers. This, friends, is the deadliest attack of anti-Semitism in American history. And I believe that Bowers was able to carry out this attack because he no longer saw Jewish people as his neighbors. And by neighbors, I mean women and men whose fate is tied to our own. And the danger of no longer seeing people as our neighbors is then it's really easy to justify any manner of violence against them. This past week, I, and I'm sure many of you, have been doing a lot of thinking and praying about how we can better love God and love our neighbors. On Monday, one of my friends texted me a picture of my favorite theologian, Mr. Rogers. And the picture included one of his most famous quotes. It said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would tell me to look for the helpers because there are always people helping." Mr. Rogers told children to look for the helpers because there are always people working to make a bad situation better. And if we start to look for the helpers, we start to feel more in control of the world around us. And control is a positive emotion for children as well as adults. And when we say, look for the helpers, what we mean is to look for people who are going out of their way to love their neighbors. So I decided to hop online and start looking for the helpers. And I was a little bit overwhelmed by how many people are helping. Muslims, who are folks who are practicing Islam, I think have raised something like $225,000 for the victims of the Tree of Life shooting. I don't know if any of you have planned a funeral recently, but this money is basically just enough to cover funeral expenses. I saw on Monday the Pittsburgh Penguins organized a blood drive to help with the to help those in the hospital recover. And they actually had to turn people away because too many people came to donate than they had the resources to manage. Local businesses have been doing fundraisers and sending food and supplies to families. But I think I've been most encouraged by reading the stories of ordinary teachers, faith leaders, and community activists who are committing themselves to the hard and long and difficult work of teaching a new generation about the dangers of anti-Semitism. Friends, I think Mr. Rogers was a smart man. And I think he knew that when he told us to look for the helpers, we wouldn't be able to help ourselves but try to become one ourselves. How can we love God and how can we love our neighbors? This is a question that all Christians must answer, particularly in the face of unimaginable evil. For it is in the face of unimaginable evil that our faith is tested. And we get to decide whether or not we want to be a helper. Friends, in a few minutes, our community will gather around the Lord's table and participate in the sacrament of communion. In the face of unimaginable evil, we gather around the table to bear witness to the fact that Jesus loves us so much, he overcame evil on our behalf. As we gather, we give thanks to God who has gone out ahead of us. We remember Jesus' sacrifice on the night of his arrest. We partake of the bread and wine as a community of faith. We then rise from the table, refreshed by the Holy Spirit, to go out into the world for the work, yes, work, of loving God and loving our neighbors. Come, all is ready. Let us partake of this holy meal during this difficult time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, our communion hymn for this morning is number 509, All Who Hunger Gather Gladly. be seated.
Before you begin with communion, I have a few logistical instructions for it. This may be a little bit different than how you're used to hearing communion, and that's okay. Generally what happens is I'm going to offer a few words of thanksgiving, we're going to pray, we're going to bless the elements, and then the elders will go then and serve you. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from north and south and east and west and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast that he has prepared. Friends, please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you on this evening, ready to partake of this holy meal together. And it is appropriate that we would pause for a moment and lift our joys and concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and would bring them healing. We pray for all of our members and friends who are making the transition into assisted living. We pray for everyone who is sick at home or in the hospital. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray especially for those who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that you would be with their friends and families during this difficult time. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we lift up to you the friends and families of the 11 victims of the Tree of Life shooting. We pray that you would walk alongside them as they mourn and grieve and rebuild. We offer a word of thanks to our police officers, first responders, doctors, and nurses. We thank you for their ability to rally and come together in the midst of tragedy. Lord, we are about to enter into another crucial week in our nation's history as we prepare for our midterm elections. Lord, we pray for all of our currently elected officials. We pray that you give them grace and wisdom to rise and meet the challenges ahead. Lord, we pray especially for all of our soon-to-be elected officials. Give them the energy they need for these last few days and prepare them to represent us in our government. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you for a successful craft show yesterday, and we offer thanks and praise over the good news of Cliff's son's engagement. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Friends, our Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a sign of the new covenant, sealed for you in my blood, shed for for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Every time that you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our Lord and Savior until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God. United us with Christ and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Please rise and join with me in our closing hymn, number 628, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord. I hope you are able to join us in McFadden Hall after the service, because I really don't want to take 4 dozen of cookies home with me. My coach will kill me. So please, please come to the reception and eat some cookies and cake with us. Let me bless you. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you there. God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.